Now the Chiefs, third down and goal to go. The football between the 4 and 5 of Baltimore. Tyreek Hill is now in the backfield after shifting. Sprint out action. They shovel it into the sausage. Touchdown, Kansas City. An inside shovel pass. The sausage surprises the Ravens on a 5-yard touchdown shovel to the sausage, Anthony Sherman. And the Chiefs have 2 drives, 2 touchdowns. 27-20, Kansas City. They have first down and goal to go at the Raven 2-yard line. Fake a handoff, short roll, throw back left, wide open, Eric Fisher, a tackle eligible, Eric Fisher, the fish jumps out of the pond and goes into the sweet nectar of the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City on a tackle eligible to Eric Fisher.
Chiefs dominate the Baltimore Ravens and win last night, Monday Night Football. 34-20 was the final, and the score really wasn't even that close when you consider how the Chiefs played last night. And the Chiefs now 3-0 for the fourth straight season under Andy Reid, and the Ravens dropped to 2-1, and the Chiefs in the driver's seat now for the number one seed. Remember, expanded NFL playoff format this year. 7 teams for each conference make the playoffs, which means only one bye, and that goes to the number one seeds in both the AFC and the NFC. And wouldn't that be nice if the Chiefs could have home field advantage throughout the playoffs at Arrowhead, like they did last year, although they wouldn't have had Baltimore taken care of business in their divisional round playoff game, but they didn't. So the Chiefs, very convincing win, and we'll talk more about that Chiefs win coming up here in just a moment on the Sports Ticket. Local sports from last night, there was some volleyball. Lakeside winning over Southern Cloud in straight sets at the Southern Cloud Triangular, 25-13, 25-20. Did not get a final on Rock Hills Lincoln in their volleyball match last night. Lakeside won in straight sets over Pike Valley, 25-16, 25-21. And Southern Cloud won in straight sets over Pike Valley, 29-27, 25-13. And those results are posted at nckssports.com. Cross country today, Ellsworth at the Lions Invitational. More volleyball for today, Thunder Ridge Triangular. Lincoln will be at Thunder Ridge. And also Natoma, St. John's Tipton hosting a Triangular with Chase. And also Lakeside in that Triangular. Also, there's the Tescott Triangular, where Southern Cloud and Tescott will be competing in that, along with Osborne and the Pike Valley Triangular, Rock Hills and Pike Valley competing along with Sylvan Lucas. And the Beloit Trojan volleyball team will be hosting southeast of Saline. You can watch live video stream of the varsity, then the second JV match, and then the second varsity match tonight, begin at 5 o'clock from the high school at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. And then the JV's first match and the C team match will also be streamed at nckssports.com starting at 5 o'clock from the elementary gym via the Beloit Trojan channel. Russell is at Smith Center, part of the Smith Center Quadrangular. Of course, Smith Center, a top rated team in 2A with just one loss on the season. The Acacia Fall Regionals have come out and released in regards to girls golf, and also it has been released for girls tennis, and we'll pull up those assignments once my computer catches up to speed here. Taking a while to load. There we go. And in class 3-2-1A, we look at Phillipsburg hosting that tennis regional coming up October 9th and 10th. Beloit will be competing there along with Osborne from our area. So best of luck to those tennis players on the girls' side of things coming up there October 9th and the 10th. Those regional assignments are posted at nckssports.com. The cross-country regional assignments and the volleyball postseason assignments to still be announced by the Kansas State High School Activities Association. For our full broadcast schedule, visit nckssports.com, as we'll have locker room chats coming up tomorrow evening at 5:15. We'll talk to the football coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. And then Thursday, St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. Football schedule for Friday, The Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable, previewing the matchups at 5:40. On Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com, 6:30, we have high school football for you, doubleheader, Phillipsburg at Beloit. On Katie Kitchen 94 and katiecountry94.com, live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. And also this Friday, we have St. John's Tipton at Pike Valley on Z96.3 Lake and katiecountry94.com. It all concludes with our Katie Country 94 local high school scoreboard show brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Marty Walters in Osborne, Kevin Hewitt in Beloit. And that, too, can be heard online as well katycountry94.com. There is an extensive list of video streaming we're doing with Beloit Athletics, and that's posted in eksports.com as well. So it gets you up to speed with what's happening in the local sports world. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs last night, what can you say? I'm glad I changed my mind from last week and picked the Chiefs to win yesterday, but I don't think anybody saw the Chiefs going to dominate the Ravens like they did. One of the things that we talked about in the Chiefs' win last night, in case you missed it, 34-20, is that, and I mentioned this during the show yesterday, and I hadn't brought it up until yesterday, and it just kind of hit me. So much focus on how the Chiefs don't match up with the Ravens. So much focus on Lamar Jackson is so explosive. He's a better passer. The Ravens have more weapons. The Ravens' defense is all this. And as I said on the show yesterday, the Ravens' defense isn't what it once was. I know it's the number one scoring defense through 2 weeks. Who cares? It's 2 weeks. It's two games. And it's not like they played super great competition, okay? I mean, they beat the Browns. They're 2-1. Browns aren't great. They beat the Texans, who are 0-3. So I'm not going to sit here and anoint the Raven defense as a great defense. And I wasn't yesterday, and I sure as heck am not going to do that today. But so much talk was about how the Chiefs can't match up with the Ravens. The last two meetings between the Ravens and Chiefs before last night, all the concern many people talk about, we have as well, about the Chiefs' rushing defense. It's not very good. The Ravens just run the ball, control the clock. Mahomes stays on the sideline. And that seems like a great narrative, right? But are you aware that the last two games the Chiefs and Ravens had played before last night, both wins, by the way, by the Chiefs at Arrowhead in Kansas City, that the Ravens ran for 194 yards a few years ago and Mahomes and the Chiefs won in overtime over the Ravens? Converted that big fourth down play by Mahomes down the field to Hill to keep their chance alive. Do you understand or remember that last year the Chiefs beat the Ravens 33-28? They were in control pretty much the whole game except the very beginning. Ravens led 6-0, went for two, didn't get it. And then they went for it and was aggressive, and the Chiefs' offense came to life. Do you know the Ravens ran for 203 yards last year at Arrowhead? And guess how that turned out? They lost. So we can get all caught up, and so did the national media, as usual, and even Law Sports Talk in Kansas City. And we get caught up in it as well, talking about how the Chiefs don't match up with the Ravens because the Ravens run the ball. But here's the thing. The Ravens ran all over the Chiefs the last two meetings and still lost. So why does it matter? I mean, the Ravens ran for 194 2 years ago and lost. Last year, they ran for 203, and they lost. Last night, they didn't run for nearly as many. Had some garbage there late in the game, and they lost, and it wasn't even close. So, as I said yesterday on the show, towards the end, everybody gets caught up in how the Chiefs don't match up with the Ravens. But as we said yesterday on the show, how do the Ravens match up with the Chiefs? They don't. They don't. There's Chiefs fans that have been worried about the Ravens the last three meetings, including myself. Well, how are we going to match up with the Ravens? Da, 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 da. You know what? Quit worrying about the other team, about how we can't match up with them. How the hell are they going to match up with us? And they can't. Patrick Mahomes has thrown for over 370 yards in every single one of those three games. So you can have your 200 yards rushing and take your loss. You can have your regular season MVP at quarterback. You can have the number one rated player in the top 100 in NFL, which was voted on by the players, by the way. And Mahomes is ranked fourth. And we said it at the time when everybody was making a big deal about Chiefs fans. Oh, my God, Mahomes is rated fourth. He's the best. How's that? That's horrible. He's getting the shaft. What's going on? And we talked about on the show, I'm cool with Mahomes being rated fourth because it'll serve as motivation. And did you see when he did the 1, 2, 3, 4? He wasn't referring to four touchdown passes, I can assure you, because he did a shrug after it. It was motivation. Mahomes is the highest paid player in the NFL, or will be. He's not on average per year, but he's got the biggest contract, $500 million. He proved it last night, okay? And we'll get to the whole Lamar Jackson overhype here in a moment. But last night, the Ravens proved again that they cannot match up with the Chiefs. And the Chiefs won last night, and I said yesterday it was a more important game for the Ravens than the Chiefs, and I stand by that comment. The Ravens needed to send a message that we can beat the Chiefs. And that we're in a tougher division, so we really need this game more than the Chiefs do. Because the Steelers are 3-0 and in first place in the division now, by the way. Mm-hmm. And maybe we shouldn't be worried about the Ravens, the Chiefs fans. Maybe we should be worried about the Bills, who have a quarterback that can run and throw. And they have a really good defense. Maybe we should be more worried about the Steelers, who are off to a 3-0 start, instead of the Ravens. Because the Ravens don't match up against the Chiefs. They just don't. And if I hear one more time about, oh, how the Chiefs, they just don't match up against that running game of the Ravens, I'm going to probably throw up. because it does not matter. All right? It does not matter. The Ravens don't match up with the Chiefs. So last night was a huge game. Motivation, right? Chiefs went out and punked them. Absolutely dominated the game. When the Ravens probably, you would think, would have wanted it more. The defending Super Bowl champions could have come in flat going, eh, whatever. Ravens win, big deal. You know? Well, we got 13 games to play. No! The Chiefs showed that they were on national TV, and it was primetime under the lights, and it helps that it was an empty stadium, no doubt, in Baltimore. And they proved to everybody that we are worthy of being the heavy favorite to win the Super Bowl. Because when this team is healthy, there is nobody in this league that can stop that offense. The only team that can stop the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and I've been saying this for since last year, is the Chiefs. And Steve Young said it after the game last night. I'm like, well, welcome to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been the Ravens haven't stopped the Chiefs the last 2 years. And they sure as heck didn't do it last night. Here's the thing that's really crazy. Last night, the Chiefs outgained the Ravens 517-228. The Chiefs had the ball, time of possession, 8 more minutes than the Ravens. The Chiefs were 10 of 13 on third down. They won by 14. Think about this for a second. Against the most fearsome challenger in the National Football League, the Chiefs whiffed on many of the basics. They gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. They missed an extra point and a 42-yard field goal, which should be easy for Butker. They fumbled the ball away when they were going to blow out the Ravens if Darwin Thompson doesn't fumble that ball. And they got stuffed on a third and a fourth and one play back-to-back, which I don't know what Andy Reid's calling. If you know you're going to go for it on fourth and one, why in the world wouldn't you let Mahomes keep the ball in one of those two plays? If it's third and one, you know you're going for it on fourth if you don't get it. Okay, short yardage run on third and one. I'm cool with it. To me, if you know you're going to go for it on fourth and one, you take a shot down the field when they don't expect it or play action. Didn't understand those play calls, although Andy Reid had a great night calling plays, or Eric Bieniemy, whoever's calling the plays, did a great job last night. The Chiefs made all those mistakes. Listen to that. Special teams, they left 4 points on the field. They gave up a kick return. That's the first time that's happened in a decade for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So that's 11 points, and they fumbled one away. They had at least three. 14 points the Chiefs gave away last night. 14 points! And a turnover in downs plus the fumble, so two turnovers in the second half. And they still won by 14 on the road! Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell you what I saw last night. When the Chiefs were up, what was it? 20? Let me pull it up here. I got to remember so I don't say this wrong. The Chiefs were up 27-10. 27-10, got the ball to start the second half. And the Chiefs, remember the play where they, what was it, a double reverse, then Mahomes threw a screen pass? They're pulling out. I was like, the Chiefs are toying with the Ravens right now. The Chiefs are bored. I said it out loud. I said, they're bored. This is so easy that Andy Reid's running gadget plays just to see if it works. I mean, they lost their focus because they knew they were the better team. They completely lost their focus when Darwin Thompson fumbled the football.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their focus. And then they didn't, third and one, fourth and one, didn't convert, which that's Andy Reid trying to say, we're going to play smash mouth football. That's not your MO. You don't play that game against the Ravens. Then you will lose. No. That was a mistake. So be it. Andy Reid's not perfect. And so what happens? What happened to stop the Chiefs' offense last night? Those are really the only two drives the Chiefs were stopped on.
Yes.
And the Chiefs stopped themselves. Not the Ravens. The Chiefs did. Questionable play calling. And the Chiefs let up or they lost focus. And when they ran that gadget play, I'm like, the Chiefs right now are just toying with the Ravens because they know they're the better team. Then the Ravens sneak back to make it 27-20, but I was never worried. Maybe some Chiefs fans were. And then Eric Bieniemy goes off on the offense on the sideline, which he rightfully did, saying, listen, wake up. Enough's enough. We're better than this. And what did the Chiefs do? Let's flip that switch right back on. 13 plays, 75 yards, touchdown to your left tackle, of all people. I'm not saying this as a Chiefs fan to brag about how the Chiefs, I'm not biased here at all. The national media is saying the same thing. The Chiefs are the best team in the National Football League when they are focused. When the Chiefs really want to play well and care and focus, they win. They were playing with a new right guard last night, and nobody seemed to touch Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes did get hit a few times, but not very often. Was not sacked. And the Chiefs, this is how brilliant they are. Who did the Chiefs go after early in the game to establish things offensively? Who did they pick on for the Baltimore Ravens defense? Who did they go after?
They tried to go after Peters.
They did go after Peters. Yes, they did.
Well, yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. And they knew the tendencies of Marcus
Peters. Exactly.
And they took advantage of it. Ryan Clark broke it on ESPN last night so brilliantly. He said, Peters has bad eyes. He looks in the backfield. He wants to make a play. He gambles. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. He got torched on that. There's no way Mecole Hardman should be behind the defense on a 3rd and 14 right before halftime. I mean, there's no way. And that's on Marcus Peters. What's crazy about this game is it should have been much worse. I mean, the Chiefs should have won at least 38-13. Missed field goal, extra point, kick return for a score, Thompson fumble, 3rd and 4th and 1, couldn't get a yard, questionable play calling. And the Ravens, by the way, were lucky to be down just 17 at halftime, to be quite frank.
Yes.
I want to talk about a play Mahomes made last night. I want to talk about the play right before halftime. The 49-yard touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. There was a Raven ready to hit him right in the ribs. He backpedaled, which is somewhat of a bad habit, but he can do it because he's got a cannon for an arm. And he threw off his back foot from his own 40, off his back foot with a guy in his grill, in his stomach, in his grill. Knew he was going to get clobbered and threw a perfect pass. It wasn't a tight spiral. It was a perfect pass on the money in stride to Mecole Hardman, and he caught it at the 5. Mahomes threw the ball 55 yards off his back foot with a guy going for his rib cage. Tell me again how Lamar Jackson's even compared to Patrick Mahomes. It's laughable and it's ridiculous, and it's because people in the national media don't want to give Mahomes everything because they feel like, well, we can't just give him everything. So let's go ahead and make up this farce of a comparison that Lamar Jackson's as good as Patrick Mahomes. I've never one second ever bought into that. No way, Jose. So the Chiefs, it's 27-20, and Eric Bieniemy gets after the team. Here's Andy Reid on Bieniemy and what he means.
Yeah, no, he's my right-hand man there. Yeah, he's fully in charge and has a great feel for everything we do. I mean, listen, he was one of my players, so I'm proud as can be of him. And now I have a chance to coach with him, and, you know, I was dreading having possibly to lose him last year, but I'm glad he's back from my standpoint, kind of selfishly, but I know he's not going to be here very long, but I'm going to enjoy every minute I have a chance to spend with him.
So the Chiefs are up 27-20. They've turned over on downs. They had a fumble, and Eric Bieniemy gets all over the team, and the team's like, oh, okay, fine. We'll refocus. 13 plays, 75 yards later, the touchdown pass to Eric Fisher, of all people. That's the first touchdown pass Patrick Mahomes has thrown to a first-round draft pick. Did you notice that? Aaron Rodgers has thrown two in his whole career, by the way, and one was Mercedes Lewis the other night. That's hard to believe. Eric Fisher's number one overall pick. He's the first number one overall pick catch touchdown pass since Keyshawn Johnson.
I didn't say that, Keyshawn. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Eric Fisher on his touchdown catch that sealed the deal for the Chiefs.
Well, I didn't think Coach was going to call it once we were down a lineman today, and then when it came in the huddle, it just like, I don't know, man. I blacked out a little bit and I just did what I did, and the rest is history. But for Big Red to dial my number in that situation and trust me, you know, kind of seal the game. It's a memory I'll have forever, man. There's a lot of ups and downs in this game, and that was for sure one of the ups.
That sealed it. Of course, Mahomes, that's first touchdown pass of his on the night that made it 13-3. Was pretty sweet. The underhand shovel pass to, of all people, Anthony Sherman.
Yeah, the first one, the Sherm, we'd actually had ran it my first year starting against the Patriots, and they had accidentally covered it because the guy was just following the ball. And so we kind of been hanging on to that one, trying to find the right opportunity. I thought Coach Reed did a great job of calling it there on that down and distance and to get that touchdown. Coach Reed and Eric Bieniemy, Coach Bieniemy. And so that one was good. And then the other one was play that we worked on in training camp that we had drawn up, and I thought Fish did a great job of reporting and making a heck of a catch because he was more open in practice. So, I mean, I had to throw up there high for him, and he made a great catch on it.
Ravens last night decided to blitz Mahomes. That worked out real well. Mahomes threw for over 200 yards. I think Mahomes loves it when teams blitz. I really do. So how do you slow down this offense? You don't. And you hope the Chiefs have a penalty. You hope the refs make a bad call. You hope the Chiefs have injuries. You hope the Chiefs lose focus. You don't stop it. Can you slow it down a little bit? Yeah, if you get pressure on the quarterback, you can. And yesterday they got some pressure, and then what happens? 49-yard touchdown pass to Hardman. Here's Mahomes on adjusting to the looks the Ravens presented, including blitzing quite a bit.
They definitely had a blitz package that we weren't necessarily prepared for. But at the same time, we kind of talked about different stuff that they could do. So, I mean, obviously we had some unscouted looks, but I thought the offensive line did a great job of picking those guys up, even though they were hitting in gaps that they hadn't hit so far this season. And so it's about just being on communication throughout the game and making adjustments. I thought we did a good job of that.
You know, the Chiefs, what's interesting, too, last night is this was week three. Remember, there was no true offseason. And there's all this talk during the offseason about how the Chiefs are just set up perfectly, the stability. They have 19 of their 22 starters back, this and that. And then Damian Williams opted out. And Tardif opted out. And then Andrew Wiley he had to go to the hospital before the game last night, thought about appendicitis, but it wasn't. So Mike Rimmers, who they picked up, a veteran off the scrap heap during the offseason, started at right guard, guy that can play guard or tackle. Osimile, they picked up there late in the offseason to play left guard. They moved Wiley to right guard from left guard because Tardif played at right guard last year. And they throw in Rimmers. So think about this. It's week three of the NFL season. There's no true offseason per se. And the Chiefs are breaking in two new offensive linemen to protect their $500 million quarterback at left guard and right guard. And he was not sacked one time last night. So you have to give Brett Veach a lot of credit for coming up with these guys to play on the offensive line. Here's Mahomes on Rimmers stepping in for Wiley at right guard and doing a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, it's great preparation on Rimmers' part. I mean, obviously, Wiley going to the hospital, but glad that he's doing okay and everything like that. And then for Rimmers to step up against a really good defense that blitzes a lot and be prepared and then accept the challenge every single play against a great defensive line. I thought he did a great job, and it shows that we have depth at that position. I mean, we have a lot of guys there that I really trust to come in and protect me and give me time to make these throws to these guys.
Patrick Mahomes last night was 31 of 42 for 385 yards and four touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown against the best scoring defense in the league. He's the fastest in NFL history to throw for over 10,000 yards. He did it in 34 games. Breaks Kurt Warner's record, which was 36 games. And here's the great thing about Mahomes and this offense of the Chiefs is they don't focus on one guy. Last night, Mahomes completed passes to eight different receivers, including his fullback on an underhand shovel for a touchdown and his left tackle for the game-clinching touchdown. I don't know how you slow this team down offensively. I really don't. In September... Patrick Mahomes is 10-0. He has 32 touchdown passes and no interceptions, and that will stand that way until next year because that was the last game in September for the Chiefs. It's mind-boggling what Patrick Mahomes does. I was thinking about this last night. I mean, this is the best scoring defense in the league they played against last night, if you put some clout on that. The Chiefs are going to get everybody's best shot. We know that. Monday Night Football, the Ravens really won that game badly. And all Mahomes does, and this is why I picked the Chiefs yesterday, because of Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I changed my mind from last week. I'm like, you know what? I can't bet against 15. Until Lamar Jackson does something, I got to go with Mahomes. And it's under the lights, and he's going to try to prove a point. Because he's heard about how Lamar supposedly is ranked higher. That's so dumb. He's not even close to Patrick Mahomes. He can't even hold his jock. All right, let's stop with it. Let's stop with this stuff. Stop it. Lamar's not there yet. I mean, I'm not going to say Lamar won't get there. I think he's a very talented guy, but he's not there.
It's take a lot for him to get there from the passing.
I agree with you.
Point.
He's such an improved passer. He didn't look like it at all.
And
last
night. I've heard that last year. I heard it this year. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, okay, but when the pressure's on him, is he? Can he throw the football?
No.
We've seen it twice.
Here's when he can throw the football. When his team's in the lead or it's close, because you have to key on the running game. I'll jump ahead. I wasn't going to go here yet, but let me jump ahead. Lamar Jackson last night was 15 of 28 for 97 yards and one touchdown pass. He ran for 83 yards on nine carries, and 33 was on a run early in the game. Since Lamar Jackson was drafted in 2018, the Ravens are 0-10 after trailing at halftime, including the playoffs last year. They're the only team in the National Football League without a single win after trailing at halftime during that span.
Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson called the Chiefs our kryptonite last night after the game. Jackson is 21-1 against the rest of the NFL as a starter in the regular season. He's 0-3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. And last night, he missed some receivers that were open, especially in the second half. And that's, if you're going to come back, you got to hit those guys. Mahomes does. Lamar Jackson doesn't. Chiefs get down by double digits. The Chiefs still believe they're going to win. The Ravens get down by double digits. They know they're toast. And they don't get down double digits very often. Lamar Jackson has a long way to go. And I hope he doesn't get there. Because if he does get there, then that means the Chiefs have a bona fide challenger in the AFC. So, yeah, let's just stop with the whole the hype and all this other stuff. The reason Mahomes wasn't ranked number one according to the top NFL 100 because it was voted on by the players, and I'm still convinced there's some players that are just jealous that Mahomes has everything. And so they voted for Lamar. That's it. I don't think there's anything more to it. They tally the votes, hey, Mahomes number four, which is ridiculous. But whatever. I don't care. You know what? If I'm Mahomes, I care and use his motivation. But at the end of the day, if I'm Chiefs organization, I don't care. He's got the Super Bowl MVP. He's 25. He's going to be a quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years in Kansas City if he stays healthy. And he's going to win multiple Super Bowls if he keeps going as he is. And once again, injuries are, the X factor of this whole thing. Can't predict the future. And here's the thing I was getting to a moment ago. I played football. I wasn't great at football. I was a tight end and a defensive end when I played football, okay? Now imagine, and it wasn't easy to go where you're supposed to go, catch a ball, block, whatever the case may be. Your head's on a swivel. You can't see behind you. Your peripheral's kind of blocked because of the helmet that's on you. And then you move up to the professional, you know, college football, and he made people look silly. You go to the National Football League, and he's doing this. Mahomes is doing this stuff, making it look like child's play. He's making it look like he's toying with everybody. I mean, he rolls to his left against his body. He just turns his hips, looks, keeps his eyes downfield, which I love about Patrick Mahomes, and Alex Smith did not do. And he will throw it to a guy because his receivers never quit on the play because they know he's going to keep the play alive. And when Mahomes rolls to his right, you're expecting touchdown every time. Because he can throw on the run off the side foot. He doesn't have to square his hips. He can just sling it. But then here's another part of Mahomes' game that is so underrated. He's smart. Everybody knows he's smart. He's humble. He's mature for his age. But he knows when to run for a first down. Like last night, there was a 3rd and 10 in that final drive that the Chiefs, that they clinched the game on, okay? The 75-yard drive. 3rd and 10. They bring a blitz up the middle. And did you see Mahomes? He just was like casually scrolled to the right, and he didn't even look downfield after that because he knew he had 25 yards to run if he wanted it. I mean, Mahomes identified what the Ravens were doing before the snap. He knew exactly what to do. The Ravens didn't account for him at all on the edge. And honestly, that's where Mahomes hurts you more running the ball, not up the middle. It's around the edge. They had no containment. So here's the thing that's got to be infuriating for defensive coordinators. This game is not as easy as Patrick Mahomes makes it look. And Andy Reid puts him in great spots, and he's got great weapons. I hear this, well, you know, Mahomes wouldn't be that great if he didn't have these weapons. Oh, whatever. I mean, Joe Montana wouldn't have been great without Jerry Rice. Brady wouldn't have been great with this or whatever, which, by the way, Brady didn't have, like, bona fide, unbelievable wide receivers. I mean, he had a great tight end in Gronkowski. You made that argument all the time. Well, what would Jordan have done without Pippen? Well, what would LeBron have done without a Robin to his Batman? Dude, you got to have somebody catch the ball. And Mahomes, he's spreading it out to all these receivers. He'd throw it on a dime to DeMarcus Robinson, to Byron Pringle. It doesn't matter. He doesn't sit here and focus on Kelce and Hill all game long. He doesn't. He spreads it around. Does he have weapons? Absolutely. Does there speed on this team with Hardman and Hill? Of course there is. And now he's got a running back to add to the whole weaponry. And he's got an offensive line that's decent. I don't think it's great, but it's decent, maybe above average. But Mahomes just makes the right play almost every time. All this talk when he came out, when he was drafted, he's a gunslinger. He's going to make too many bad decisions. He's Brett Favre. It's still a slap in the face they compare him to Brett Favre. I'll say that till the day I die. It's embarrassing to me that they compare Patrick Mahomes to Brett Favre because Patrick Mahomes already has one Super Bowl win. Favre only won one his whole career. Favre threw tons of picks and made horrible boneheaded passes his whole career. All right? And look at Favre's interception numbers, okay? Now, he had a few great years and, of course, had MVP a couple times, Favre did. And I'm not saying Favre isn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. He is.
No, absolutely.
But Mahomes is not going to come close to catching Favre for the all-time interception record.
No.
I mean, he's already more...
He'd have to be really, really bad for, like, 3 years.
Mahomes is already further along than Favre, and Mahomes doesn't make those mistakes. He doesn't force it too often. And he can put it on a dime. I mean, that pass to Hill over Peters was just an unbelievable, beautiful pass. Mm-hmm. And we've become spoiled as Chiefs fans because you just go, ho-hum, nice pass.
Lastly, you're talking about the one where
Rodgers is the only one. Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback to make that throw that he made to Hill, by the way.
Yeah.
And the 55-yarder that was a 49-yarder to Hardman off his back foot and get drilled. Him and Aaron Rodgers are the only two quarterbacks in this league that can make those plays.
Yeah, you're talking about how awesome that one was on the 55-yarder where he's backing up and getting hit. And it's like, you get conditioned to it.
Yes.
It's like, another great Mahomes play. Let's move on to the next one.
Right.
And you don't even think about it until you actually look and analyze it and see somebody shares that on Twitter, says what other NFL quarterback can make this throw. Like you say, probably Aaron Rodgers, about the only one on that type of throw there. Mm-hmm. You know, Russell Wilson can make a lot of throws that he doesn't get a lot of credit for,
sure.
I think. But those kind of throws are tough for him just because of his body type, you know, mm-hmm. and what he's got there. They are. It's like you just kind of, Mahomes did this. Let's move on to the next play. You don't even really enjoy it. Well, you enjoy it.
You take it for granted. Just like the Patriots took Tom Brady for granted, the Packers took Brett Favre for granted, they take Aaron Rodgers for granted, the Seahawks now taking Russell Wilson for granted. I mean, the Ravens have taken Lamar Jackson for granted to an extent with all his running, ran for 1,200 yards a year ago. You do that. When you have the great quarterback, Peyton Manning, you took it for granted every single game. I mean, you can't take it for granted because, you know, he's one play away from being injured and his career's over. But if you want to rank the quarterbacks right now, to me there are three quarterbacks that are head and shoulders above everybody else in this league. And it's not even close. It's not even close. See if you agree with me. I'm going to say through the first three games of the season, I'm going to put 1A and 1B. After that performance last night, Russell Wilson, to me, is still the MVP of this league
right now. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, right now. But Mahomes is right there on his tails. But to me, the best quarterback in the league is Patrick Mahomes. But in regards to the season, I think you have to give it to Russell Wilson so far. Those and then Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, you can't even name more than one wide receiver he has, and that's Davante Adams, who he didn't have on the game.
Adams
was hurt the other night, and the Packers still scored 37. Aaron Rodgers throwing to guys that are undrafted free agents like Alan Lazard from Iowa State. I mean, imagine what Aaron Rodgers would do with Patrick Mahomes' weapons. Imagine what Aaron Rodgers would do with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, okay? So Aaron Rodgers may be the best of this group still, and we're not giving him enough credit because he does not have the weapons that these two guys do. But to me, those three quarterbacks are far and above better than everybody else. Now, if Josh Allen can keep playing like he's been doing...
He's next up.
Yes, I agree. If Josh Allen keeps playing like he has been playing, he can do it over the course of a full year, then I'll put Allen in that tier as well. Is there anybody else that should be in that tier?
No, right now I don't feel like it. Breeze is definitely on the decline for sure. And, you know, he's one that would be a well-known name.
Deshaun Watson is not in that tier yet.
Not yet, no.
No. And he hasn't had a lot of help either at times.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. He makes it look easy. Football's, trust me, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never played football, trust me when I say this, it's not as easy as he makes it look.
No, not at all.
But, gosh, he makes it look easy. He just does. Chiefs win. Andy Reid. First of all, I thought Andy Reid's game plan last night was really good. The Ravens were aggressive. And I know Chiefs fans get tired of screen passes, and the Chiefs haven't thrown very many this year. Last night, they screened a lot. And guess what? That slowed down the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
That was the right decision. And then they didn't use a lot of screens later in the game. They didn't need to. The Chiefs defense last night cannot get enough credit. Lost in the whole Mahomes, what he did last night, and what this offense did, and Andy Reid's play calling, or Eric Bieniemy's play calling, is the Chiefs defense. The Chiefs defense last night, the game plan to me was pretty simple. Put pressure on Jackson, duh. You want to do that against any quarterback. But stay wide. Keep him in the pocket.
Yes.
And last night, other than that 33-yard run, they really kept him in the pocket all night long. I mean, Frank Clark, I mean, you can see what he does when he's healthy. He did a wonderful job staying wide. Taco Charlton, when he was in there, did a decent job. I think one time he lost containment. Alex Okafor didn't play. He's their normal other DN. The Chiefs, they had Lamar Jackson covered. They were his kryptonite last night. It was a great game plan by Steve Spagnuolo. And the fact that there was three straight times they're up 34-20, and they're all out blitz on three consecutive plays means they don't think Lamar Jackson can beat him over the top. Because to me, that was about as disrespectful as you could be as a defense. Because most guys, after completing, you know, a six-yard pass, three straight on all-out blitzes, and they get a first down out of it, and Spags is like, whatever, don't care. Because Bob Sutton would have sat back and got – I'm so glad we have Spagnuolo. It's night and day. Bob Sutton would have not done anything like that last night, and the Chiefs might have even lost the game with Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator. But Steve Spagnuolo last night, I just love it. He's like, you know what? Lamar Jackson can't beat us over the top.
You
so we're just going
to
keep doing
zone.
It until he does it.
Don't care. Still
don't care.
Blitz you.
Up 14, and I'm going all-out blitz three straight plays. Don't care. Oh, that's the reigning MVP? Don't care. Because guess what? He's missed on three deep throws he should have connected on already. And until he makes a big throw, I'm going to bring a blitz. And I'm going to bring the pressure. I'm not going to sit back there and take his time. I love it. And the other thing is, even if Jackson does complete a pass over the top, it's still the Chiefs up seven. So yeah. You still have the lead, and you got an offense that you know is going to probably be able to hold on the ball and get a few first downs. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to lose, really, in that standpoint. Up 14, the blitz like that. Most places, most teams, and most defense coordinators would not do that. But to me, that was complete disrespect to Lamar Jackson, and I have no problem with it, because until Jackson can beat you over the top in a game of that magnitude when he trails, you do that. You prey on a team's weakness. You prey on a player's weakness. And Mahomes, by the way, has no weaknesses. Lamar Jackson has a clear weakness, and that's throwing the ball accurately. Especially in crunch time. He couldn't deliver last year in the playoffs when his team was down. He couldn't deliver last night at all. And he's 0-10 as a Raven quarterback. The Ravens have trailed. They're 0-10 since 2018. So the proof's in the pudding. And when the Chiefs get down, they've come back on the Ravens before. So the Ravens can't win. Ravens get a lead. Chiefs come back. No big deal. Ravens fall behind. They're toast. And if it wasn't for that kick return last night, they were lucky they're even in the game.
Oh, man.
Which was a Chiefs snafu, because they can kick it out of the end zone every single time. They get greedy, thinking they're going to pin guys inside the 25, which, you know, works if Darwin Thompson stays in his lane. Darwin Thompson had a really bad night last night, by the way.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
He's the reason that they got the kick return for a score. He didn't maintain containment. And, because he's the gunner on the outside, and he had that fumble. And Butker didn't have a great good game either, by the way.
No.
Special teams wasn't great, and they still won by 14. They got things to clean up, but they still won by 14 against the biggest challenger in this league. But the defense was fantastic. Four sacks. Jones had two. Clark had one. Ben Neiman had one. And I thought a big part of this game was right off the bat. The Ravens get the ball first, and they run the ball down the field, and you're like, oh, man, the Chiefs are going to give up a touchdown, and they hold them to a field goal.
Well, that was it right there. I was sitting there. I'm like, okay, this has been a little too easy right now with the run game, because that's what we were concerned about, right? Was the Ravens running the football.
You bet.
And like you said, and so I was like, oh, no, this is not good. Like, they're moving it too well. And then you do. You bend but don't break.
That's right.
You play the defense. You hold them to a field goal. And right at that point, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Because I picked the Ravens to win, obviously.
When they held them to a field goal, I thought the Chiefs, that was a great sign.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good night. I said, because especially if the Chiefs can go down here mm-hmm. on their first drive and score, which they haven't done a lot, you know, especially, you know, well, at really the last couple of years, they've not really been a great first quarter team. And they go down and score, and I'm like, oh, that was way too easy.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, like you said, when it's 27-7 and they're doing all this weird stuff, that's when I tweeted out, too, that this is just child's play right now for Mahomes. This is too easy. And
too easy,
like you said,
they
hurt themselves in the third quarter, and that was it. That's the only problem the Chiefs had offensively was just
themselves.
Hurting themselves.
Absolutely.
And so, boy, I was didn't have to worry about the lack of tackling, man. They fixed that in a week, didn't they?
Yeah, they missed a few early,
for what we saw and what the Ravens do, mm-hmm. that was the biggest concern for me, was not just their running game, but the Chiefs struggled tackling against the Chargers.
Yes.
And so, man, they just changed all that. And
hey, we talk about the front four, or at many times they had five on the line, and let's hear from Andy Reid about that, because it was very evident they were going to stay wide. Lamar was going to have to beat him running up the middle, or he's going to have to beat him over the top throwing the football. He didn't either. Here's Reid on that defensive front.
Yeah, well, it all starts there up front. And those guys, I just thought that when they got in a position, you want naturally to charge the quarterback. If you do that with him, it's over. So to keep contained ends up being a huge thing. And he's faster than most of your guys on the field, right? So you see him run away from people, whether it's a cornerback or not. I mean, he can go. He's as fast as anybody out there. So, you know, for you to stay disciplined, that means a lot. It takes a lot to do that. And I was proud of our guys for that.
Defensive front played very well last night. And let's not overlook the secondary. Rashad Fenton played very well. Charvarius Ward played with the cast on his hand, did a nice job. L'Jarius Sneed did a good job until he got hurt, and that's one of the only bad things that came out of that game. He's hurt. We don't know. It's a collarbone situation, so hopefully he's not out for too long. Breland's going to be back in 2 weeks off the suspension.
the DBs for the Chiefs did a nice job. Juan Thornhill, I thought, played very well last night, and that's great to see after torn his ACL back in December. It's amazing that he's starting and going like he is. I mean, it's just players nowadays with the training and the surgeries and the doctors and the medical staffs, it's amazing how quickly these guys come back from torn ACLs and torn ligaments and everything else. But the Chiefs, it was a complete effort defensively, there's no doubt. And you know, the offense, of course, was good. We know that. They made plenty of mistakes last night. They kept it was almost like they were trying to keep people glued to the television by allowing the Ravens to stay in the game on purpose. let's fumble the ball on purpose. Okay, great. You know, let's go for on third and one. You know what? Feel sorry for these guys. Let's just go ahead and go fourth and one, see if our defense get a stop, make this interesting at 27-13. It was like they were toying with the Ravens in the second half. It really was. And once they flipped that switch back on, which they apparently have the ability to do, it's downright scary. Let's hear Andy Reid on the overall thoughts of the game. You've heard our overall thoughts. What about Andy's thoughts?
So many good things bearing down against what I consider one of the best offenses in this league. And, you know, for our defense to do that, that's something special. So take a lot of pride in that. And then offensively, I thought, the guys were able to score some points, which were important. We had the turnover that I wish we had back. We had a nice drive going there, but that's how it goes. But I just thought overall, against a team that I think is as well coached as any team in the league, with John Harbaugh and his crew, I just thought it was a well-executed game from the Chiefs' standpoint.
You know, the offensive line did a really solid job last night. Mahomes was never sacked. They did have one turnover, then they had the turnover downs, but overcame that. Defense forced a turnover, four sacks. Defensive front, we talked about, did a nice job. Jones with two sacks. The secondary is solid. The linebacking core, I thought, did a good job. Showed some speed side to side. Do you notice that they're getting Willie Gay a few snaps here and there? The rookie, he had nine snaps last night. That guy has speed. Mm-hmm. And I think this defense is, and we said it during the offseason, and after they won the Super Bowl last year, imagine what this defense is going to do with another year under Steve Spagnuolo, when he can really open up his playbook and do even more. And we're starting to see it already. And remember, they don't have – Ward has a broken hand. He came back last night, not 100% clearly. Would have made a pick, but he couldn't. He had a cast on that one ball that he made a good play on a bad throw by Jackson when the guy was wide open. Hollywood Brown was wide open. Jackson missed him. That's a throw that Mahomes doesn't miss. That's the difference between the two quarterbacks. Well, that and many other things. But and then, you know, Breland starting without him. So, in essence, the Chiefs really playing without two of their corners. They're playing without one of their starting DNs and Alex Okafor. Pennell came back, which helped against the run game a little bit last night. I want to go back to something that we said earlier. Because people, I think we got to understand the game that it is. Because I think some of the old fuddy-duddies, and I will include myself in that. I'm not trying to make fun or be mean to anybody. But we need to understand that football has changed from the game. I'm 44. Dusty, you're how old, 38?
37.
37, sorry. So Dusty's 37, I'm 44. But we're kind of from the same, you know, generation. And so we remember how football was when we were growing up, and we were watching, you know, the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Broncos, whatever the case may be, the teams that are winning the Super Bowls. And the game is different now. Like, you're not going to see many teams hold another team. It used to be the standard was if an offensive team, for them to have a great day, had to get 300 yards of offense. Teams now in the NFL are getting 300 yards of offense in one half. You know, college football, it used to be that if you scored 24 points, you were going to win because that was a lot of points offensively. Now, 24 points isn't enough to win a game. And the reason I bring this up is all the talk about the Ravens being able to run the ball, it is overrated. It is overrated. Now, if they can just line up every single play and keep calling a run play and they don't have to throw the ball one time and they keep running it, then it is not overrated. But I'm going to go back to this in case you're tuning in a little bit late. 2 years ago, the Chiefs beat the Ravens in overtime. I believe it was 27-24. The Ravens had 194 yards rushing, and they only had 24 points. Do you think 24 points is enough to beat? And that was the first year Mahomes as a starter, who had a hard time identifying defenses at that time. That was early, his first year as a starter. They still won. Last year, the Ravens ran for 203 yards, and the Chiefs won by 5, and it wasn't even that close. And the Ravens scored 28. Last night, the Ravens scored 20 and helped out by a special teams touchdown. So their offense only scored 13 last night. And they ran for 158. What I'm trying to tell you is, as you said so accurately a moment ago, it's not about shutting teams out anymore. It's about holding teams to field goals. It's about getting teams on a third and long to where you can get a stop and get the ball back. It's no longer about
oh my gosh, we got to hold them to three and out so we can get the ball with great field position. It doesn't matter. With this Chiefs offense, they can start their own one, their own 20. It don't matter. They're going to score more often than not unless they shoot themselves in the foot. So I think in order to beat the Chiefs, you got to be super aggressive. I think you, yeah, could it go get out of control if you don't punt when you should punt? Against the Chiefs, I don't think you punt. You don't settle for field goals. No. You got to be aggressive. John Harbaugh wasn't as aggressive as I thought last night.
I understand. Like, one year he does this, and then last night he kicks instead of going
now,
for it.
Granted, he didn't have fourth and one or two. He was going to go for it on the one when they're down 27-10. They had a false start.
What was it on the
six.
Field? It was like fourth and three or
I think so. Yeah, I thought he might go for it.
I thought he might
at the beginning of the game.
I thought he might go for that one.
See, I thought he should have at the very beginning.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just that's why I feel like it's a little inconsistent.
I agree.
I know three is more than one or two, obviously, but it's like
I think coaches have it that have the mindset going in, but they just don't have the guts to carry it out.
Yeah.
Coaches aren't quite there yet. And how about Andy? Even though they didn't convert on fourth and one, he didn't hesitate.
Yeah, he's doing more of that the last – well, when you got Mahomes at quarterback, that's why he's starting to do more of that.
But let Mahomes make a play with the ball on one of those two short yardage plays would be great. But it's not the end of the world.
I don't know if we'll ever see Mahomes run another quarterback sneak in his career the way it's looking right now. One of those plays is like if that wouldn't happen at Denver last year,
ran a quarterback
one of those
sneak.
Plays would have been a quarterback sneak.
I agree.
I'm very confident of that.
Listen, I think if it's a Super Bowl and they're at the one-yard line,
we'll
Mahomes
is
going to do a quarterback sneak.
But in a regular season game and not much on the line other than –
there's no need to.
Yeah.
No need to. Not with this offense. So the point of the story is you have to score points in college football. I mean, look, Mike Leach is lighting up the SEC in 1 week. The SEC doesn't play defense any more than anybody else does. So let's stop with that bias and that myth. Because nobody in the college football anymore plays great defense. And it's because the rules are set up to help the offense score points. You know, I'm watching last night, and I'm seeing some of these calls that are made on DBs, and I saw it in the Cowboys-Seahawks game. And granted, some of the penalties Cowboys had were warranted. But I think there was a play, a call against the Chiefs last night. And by the way, the Ravens had a couple as well. And I'm as a defensive back, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I really don't. You breathe on the guy, it's a penalty. The rules are made to make quarterbacks look great. I mean, what sells? Defensive stars or quarterbacks that are stars in this league? Who are the faces in the National Football League? The only defensive face I can think of at any point in time in the modern generation was Ray Lewis and Deion Sanders. That's it. I can't think of any other one, but I can give you a ton of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you wide receivers and running backs. That's the sexy stuff, the points. You know, when you go to a baseball game, a lot of, they say chicks dig the long ball. You ain't there to watch a 1-0 game. Most people want to see a lot of runs. Now, for me, I kind of want in between. But they're there to see home runs instead of stolen bases. I'm old school, fuddy-duddy. I like stolen bases. I really do. Well, I like home runs, too. Don't get me wrong. But that's where we are with football. We see it even more in high school now, a lot more passing, more wide-open attacks. We see more points being scored in high school. At various levels. We're seeing it. We see it in college now. I mean, SEC doesn't, like I said, it used to be SEC could play defense or they didn't have as good offense. I don't know, but they're not playing it. I mean, look at the scores. Go look at the scores of all these games. You don't see games that are 14-10 anymore. You just hardly ever see it. And if you do, it's usually because their offenses are both bad. And then you look at the pros. I mean, the Ravens had 200 yards rushing the last 2 years against the Chiefs, and they scored 24 and 28 points, and that wasn't enough in either one. In order to beat the Chiefs, you have to score 30 or more. And here's something for you. You know the two losses that Patrick Mahomes has in prime time as a Chiefs quarterback? Actually, there's three. You know what those losses are?
Well, one was 54-51.
Yes, against the Rams in Mexico City. Or actually, it was in L.A.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in Mexico. They moved it to L.A.
So think about the three losses Mahomes had in prime time. You ready for this?
Yes.
40 against the Patriots and lost 43-40. Yeah. I forgot what the final score was against Seattle, but the Chiefs might have scored 40 or 38. Lost that one.
Yeah.
And the Rams game, 54-51. Do you know what the Chiefs are averaging in primetime games that they've lost under Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, that they lost. I mean, it's
they're averaging 45 points a game.
Yeah.
Something like that. Low to mid-40s. The Chiefs are averaging low to mid-40s points per game in their three primetime losses with Patrick Mahomes. And why did those losses happen? Because Bob Sutton was your defensive coordinator.
Steve Spagnuolo was not there for any of those.
No, exactly. I mean, look at last night. The Chiefs scored 34. That, and back in the day, a few years ago, wasn't enough. Now it's plenty. And they can dial it back and play goof around because they now have a defense where they don't have to keep up with in a track meet. And it's fun to watch. If you're a Chiefs fan, you love it.
The Seahawks game is 38-31.
Okay, so 31. That's not as many. So 31.
But still, I
what
mean,
is it? 31, 51, and 40. That's 2, 9, 12. Yeah, that's 41 points a game. They're averaging 41 points a game in his three primetime losses. And it's not Mahomes' fault they lost those games, that's for sure.
No.
Last night on third downs, you know, the Chiefs were 10 of 12 on third down. So nobody watching the game and don't know much about the Chiefs' offense are like, oh, yeah, they must have had a lot of short yardage situations. No. Last night, the Chiefs on third down. Third and 14, 49 yards, touchdown. Third and 10, 12-yard pickup, first down. Third and 9, 18-yard pickup, first down. Third and 9, 15-yard pickup, first down. Third and 6, 17-yard pickup, first down. Third and 5, 15-yard pickup, first down. Let's see. Third and goal to 5, touchdown pass. Third and 5, 18 yards, pickup, first down. Third and 5, 7 yards, pickup, first down. 4 yards, third and 4. Shortest third down they had last night, the Chiefs was third and 4, and they picked up 5. I mean, the Chiefs just laugh when it's third and long. I mean, all you got to do is look at last night. Third and 14, we wing it for a touchdown, and a guy's right in my face, and I'm Patrick Mahomes, and I say, no big deal. I'll just step up my back foot and wing it to Hardman. Or, hey, I'm in the Super Bowl, and it's 20 to 10, and we're not things aren't going well. Third and 15. You know what? I'm just going to heave it down to Tyreek Hill in a wasp play. Third and 15, no problem. No sweat. We haven't seen anything like it. We are watching a once-in-a-generation talent. And I don't care if you're tired of hearing about Patrick Mahomes, because if you are, good. But you have to respect. I know a lot of people are tired about LeBron James because he's been in the league for 17 years and he makes the NBA Finals almost every year. And people got tired. Some people got tired of Michael Jordan. People get tired of the Yankees always being competitive and winning championships in the heyday. You know, that's fine. But it's called mad respect. You're tired of it because those people or those teams are so great and you just want somebody else to be atop the mountaintop. But when you finally get that guy or have that team that you cheer for that is dominant, you love it. You love it. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, you know what? Now I know what the Broncos felt like when they had John Elway. It's fun. Not for anybody else in the league. But for Chiefs fans, it's a lot of fun. And last night was a lot of fun. Lamar Jackson on the loss.
Second half, like, just like I say always, like we always start cranking up at the wrong time. We got to come in and finish how we start. Like we always go opposite, I guess, against them for some reason. We just got to tighten up and play better, that's all. It's just low safeties. It looked like the same thing from Tennessee game to me, be honest. We just won on point tonight, that's all. Got to get ready for practice and get better.
And there's a long way to go. Ravens certainly can improve. So can Lamar Jackson. Here's John Harbaugh, pretty blunt on the assessment of the game.
Obviously, all credit goes to the Chiefs. They played a great game. Very well executed, first of all. Very impressive in every phase. I thought that their offense was sharp. And Coach Reed had a great game plan. Their defense was physical, was on point. That's just the way it went down. So we got beat just about every way you can get beat. And we understand that. We have a long way to go to get better.
Chiefs now, I tell you what, this doesn't get any easier. The Patriots are playing good football. Cam Newton, the Patriots come to town Sunday afternoon at 3:25 is kickoff. So that's a big game for the Chiefs. And then the Raiders are coming to town the week after. The Raiders off to a 2-1 start. And then at the Bills on Thursday night football, short week going to Buffalo. If I'm looking at the Chiefs, the game I would say I'd be most worried about of those next three is the Buffalo game, because you have a short week and you got to go all the way to Buffalo. And Buffalo's got a good defense, and Josh Allen's playing at a high level, and the Chiefs haven't faced Josh Allen before. So I think that, you know, emotional win over the Ravens, but they're going to be up for the Patriots. They might have a little bit of letdown Raiders, but it's a rivalry game. And if the Raiders keep playing well, then that'll mean something that week. And then the Bill game is the one I'm circling on my calendar that I'm most concerned about. But New England's going to bring something to the table, and the Chiefs, I think, will be ready. And they'll be coming home after that big win last night. Chiefs 3-0, 34-20. They won over the Ravens, and it really wasn't even that close. Major League Baseball playoffs. Okay, if you love baseball, you're going to enjoy it. You can just sit home, play hooky from work, or watch it in your cubicle, on your phone, and not be productive. Today, there are four games at 1:08 on ABC. It's the Astros and Twins. Now, remember, these wild card series are best 2 out of 3, and all three games are at the higher-seeded site. So the Astros are at Minnesota, but there are no fans at any of these stadiums. Astros at Minnesota. A lot of people will be pulling for the Twins. Game one, White Sox at the A's. Game one of that series at 2:08 on ESPN. Game one, Blue Jays at the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are the number one seed in the American League. That's at 4:07 on TBS. And the Yankees at the Indians. Indians a 4 seed, Yankees a 5 seed. That's at 6:08 tonight. Of course, prime time because it's the Yankees on ESPN. What a matchup. Gerrit Cole versus Shane Bieber. Terrific pitching matchup in that one. Tomorrow, there are 5 games tomorrow. No, actually, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 8 games tomorrow. Holy shnikes. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Reds at Braves, Astros at Twins game 2, Marlins at Cubs, White Sox at A's game 2, Blue Jays at Rays game 2, Cardinals at Padres game 1, Yankees at Indians game 2, and Brewers at Dodgers game 1. Are you kidding me? That's like an NCAA tournament of baseball. 8 games tomorrow. So if you love baseball, you're going to love today and tomorrow in this first round of the wild card playoffs. Surprising move happening in NBA yesterday. Doc Rivers supposedly stepped down as coach of the LA Clippers in what Chairman Steve Ballmer called a mutual decision. The Clippers went 49-23 in the regular season, the fourth best record in franchise history, but squandered a 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference semifinals to the Nuggets. They had double-digit leads in the final 3 games of that series and couldn't hold on. And, of course, the franchise, the Clippers, have never made it to the Western Conference finals in their 50-year history. Rivers had been the coach in 5 of the Clippers' 6 best regular seasons. So Doc Rivers is going to be a very wanted free agent on the coaching block, I would imagine. The Rockets have an opening. They've got Harden and Westbrook. Would that be a good fit for Doc Rivers? I don't know. The Pelicans, they've got, you know, Zion Williamson. They got a lot of young talent. Brandon Ingram, that would be, I think, a great place for Doc Rivers to go. And the Philadelphia 76ers have an opening. And you got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. So if you're Doc Rivers, which one of those jobs would you take? If I'm him, I'm taking the Philly job or the Pelican job. I stay away from the Rocket job. Now, who's the replacement for the Clippers, you ask? That's a great question, because apparently Doc Rivers is a scapegoat for them losing a 3-1 lead against the Nuggets. And also keep in mind the pressure that's going to be on the Clippers next year, because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I believe, can both opt out after next year. So it is a – you thought it was championship or bust this year for the Clippers? Next year, it's going to be championship or bust, and it'll be a new head coach that takes over. It could be Sam Cassell, who's an assistant coach on that staff, who was a great NBA player with the Rockets. Brett Brown, who was let go by the Sixers, which would be interesting. Mike D'Antoni, who left the Rockets. Then he would go to the Clippers. That would be wild. Tyronn Lue is being mentioned. And Jeff Van Gundy, who I think is one of the best color analysts on TV, a former coach and has had success, but he hadn't coached for a while there on the sideline NBA. He's been mentioned as a candidate to replace Doc Rivers with the Clippers. So we'll see what the Clippers do. I would hope they have a plan and they know who they want before they fire Doc Rivers. He's a pretty doggone good coach with an NBA championship on his resume back in 2008 and made it to the finals in 2010 as head coach of the Celtics. All right, hockey champion is crowned. Hockey is in the books. It is over. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they are your champions for the second time in team history.
Sagan shoots wide left, 15 seconds left. Rebound Radulov behind the net. Right circle Haskinen, right point Klingberg shoots. Blocked! It's out of the zone! Into the neutral zone! 8 seconds left! Barkley Goodrow after it! Shoots wide right of the open net. Time ticks down. The Lightning with the Stanley Cup. They've reached the top of the mountain. They are the Stanley Cup champs.
Tampa Bay last year got swept as the 1 seed against the 8 seed Columbus. Swept. The one loss of the 8. They got swept in the first round last year, and they were the favorite to win it all. You remember the Virginia Cavaliers? Remember they lost the first team ever as a 1 seed to lose a 16 to UMBC in the NCAA tournament and then turn around the next year and won it all? Well, the Lightning... They talk about the symbolism of Virginia. They use that as a rallying cry with Virginia hats. Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper talks about how they use that as motivation, watching Virginia go through the horrible, horrible embarrassment of losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Tampa Bay, the embarrassment of losing to an 8 seed and being swept last year. They used it as fuel and motivation to win it all this year.
Acquired the hat right after we lost, and that's been 400 plus days ago. I don't know Virginia. I don't know Tony Bennett. But they've been something to hang hope on this whole time. And it was a message that this hat's been with me the whole time. And it's we brought it in. It was funny because Nikita Kucherov just said to me, he goes, Coop, where's that hat? And he doesn't know college basketball from anything. And I said, I've got that hat here. I've had it with me all the time. And it's you need something to hold on to. And it was a really tough time for us last year. And like I said, they did it. Why can't we? And we did it.
Tampa Bay gets it done last night. Wins the best of 7 against the Stars. 4-2 to be the Stanley Cup champions. This just coming in over the wire, the NFL and the NFLPA joint statement On Tuesday morning, this morning, the Titans' COVID testing results returned 3 new player positive tests and 5 new personnel positive tests. The Titans will suspend in-person club activities starting today. Likewise, the Vikings, who played the Titans on Sunday, will also suspend in-person club activities. Both clubs are working closely with NFL and the Players Association, including our infectious disease experts, to evaluate those close contacts, perform additional testing, and monitor developments. All decisions will be made with health and safety as our primary consideration. We will continue to share updates as more information becomes available. Now, listen, this is bad timing for the Titans. They're off to a 3-0 start, so this can disrupt what they're trying to do this week. And the Vikings are 0-3 and just trying to figure something out, because some people had the Vikings winning their division, being one of the top contenders in the NFC. So once again, breaking news, the Titans with positive tests, 3 player positives, 5 personnel positives. So the Titans and the Vikings, who the Titans just played, they are suspending in-person club activities for the time being. How that impacts games this weekend in regards to who the Titans are playing and who the Vikings are playing, I do not know how that's going to impact it, because obviously if you suspend in-team activities like that, you are going to be up against it when you play the very next week. And I'm going to pull up the schedule for week 4, because we are already in week 4 of the National Football League, and see who those teams would play. If it will load, there we go. The Titans are supposed to host the Steelers. Oh, my. 2-3-0 teams, a marquee game at noon on Sunday, and now the Titans are suspending in-club activities. And the Vikings are 0-3, and they're at the winless Texans, who are 0-3. Texans say, can we get a forfeit? We need a win really bad.
Yeah.
Interesting. The Vikings in a winless matchup against the Texans, and the Titans are in an undefeated matchup.
Yeah.
Two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
both teams
definitely
suspending in club activities.
Yes. That's, you just, you know,
it's gonna happen.
Baseball showed the model that you can use, yes, you know, when this happens. So
right,
you try to move forward from that. I don't know where you postpone and make up those games, but I'm sure they'll find a spot to do it. And if they don't, they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. I mean, we're going to have cases like this.
Yes.
They're going to pop up. It's inevitable. It's a matter of how they handle it. Baseball's handled it. The Cardinals and Marlins missed a whole bunch of time in games and both made the playoffs. Now, granted, expanded field. But, by the way, you missed it because you're over interviewing a coach. The NCAA tournament of Major League Baseball is tomorrow.
Yeah.
8
yep,
playoff games on TV tomorrow. There are 4 today. 8 tomorrow.
Yep.
So if you love baseball, you just play hooky and you don't go to work tomorrow, or you quit, whatever, it's your call. I don't think I'd quit, but you may be
not
calling
over one.
But you know, here's a problem with COVID-19, another problem. It used to be you could fake being sick, you'd call in sick, but now you're sick. Now people don't want you to come back, which could be a good thing if you still get paid.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, man, if you're sick, stay away because you might have COVID. But you'd be lying and say, I'm not saying you should lie, but you know, people have done it before a few times. So you're like, got the sniffles. I got allergies, but it's allergies, but you're acting like you're sick. So you can stay home and watch 8 baseball games tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're a diehard baseball fan, that's what you should do. If you call yourself a diehard tomorrow, you should just play hooky.
So if you can't make it in here physically, we got Zoom.
Oh, darn it.
That's what's going to happen.
Darn Zoom.
I said that
darn
early.
It.
I'm like, the kids are mad because they're never going to get another snow day in their life.
Oh, man. Way to rain or snow on the parade there,
can't
Dusty.
Can't make it. We got Zoom.
That's all right. We got Zoom. You guys can do that in-home learning stuff we've done so much in the last 6-9 months. Oh, my goodness. What a night for the Chiefs. What a night. Chiefs are the team to beat in National Football League. Anybody debates that? Well, you're just not paying attention.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.